question, the title of my sermon is, What's Your Reason for the Season? To preach because of the wonders of God's front row seat and intervening on the behalf of humanity. Amen. And that because we are his sons and daughters, we have a privilege of participating, not being spectators, but participating in that. So my question tonight is, what's your reason for the season? Why? What gets you up about Christmas? What's your reason for the season? We'll start reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, then go to Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Let's look to Luke volume 2. We call that Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 16 through 20. Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 20. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost after folks say, are these drunk this early in the morning? It says, But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens, on my male slaves and my female slaves, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word tonight and the wonder of your intervention in the affairs of humanity. We want the same reason for the season that you have. And in Jesus' name we ask it, in the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Perhaps at Christmas time there are hiding places in your house, or you have to stash those gifts. If you have little kids, you have to be creative about where you hide them. I think maybe you could put it under their own bed and they would never find them. Put it with the cleaning supplies. If you put the gifts next to the cleaning supplies, the children won't find them, that's for sure. I have a cousin, her name is Angie. When she was growing up, way back in the last millennium, her mother bought her a curling iron set, and it was wrapped and placed under the tree. Every night, my cousin got up, unwrapped the curling iron, used the curling iron, rewrapped the curling iron, put it back under the tree. I don't think my aunt ever found out that that gift was used when it was finally opened on Christmas morning. When my brothers and I were small, and also in the last millennium, by the way, my parents had moved us to New York. It was our first winter in New York. We were in the Albany area. And my uncle, Jim, had come up. My mom's brother, Jim, who was stationed on Cape Cod in the Air Force at that time, came to visit us for Christmas that year. My brothers and I had to stay downstairs while our dad and our uncle tried out our Hot Wheels set. We heard these two grown men hilariously enjoying doing quality control making sure. This is when Hot Wheels first came out, those little plastic strips, you know, with the cars, and you could have a little C-clamp that you clamped it to the table, and it would go down and then do that loop-de-loop thing and then go across the jump. They were upstairs for an hour at least trying it out. But you see, they would need to know how to help us play with the toys the next day. When we think about the gifts, we talked about four of those gifts this morning from Zechariah's song, the gift of worship, the gift of transformed identity, the gift of living on the mission, and the gift of going in the Spirit. We think of the Christmas season, and it has some hidden gifts that if we are willing to pay attention to it, God wants to do dynamic things in our lives today. So this fifth gift I want to talk about tonight, this fifth gift, I'm a little apprehensive. I wouldn't do it just anywhere, but I think y'all are a safe place and I won't get shot too quickly. I believe this Christmas season, God's wanting to position us. God's wanting us to position us to see visions, hear dreams, and entertain angels. I don't believe every dream you have is from the Lord. Some of it's from pepperoni. I don't believe every thought you have is a God thought. Okay, so I'm not doing that. I'm not looking for angels behind every tree. Okay, I'm not looking for angels, you know, every time I find my other shoe that was missing, it was an angel that put it into sight, you know, none of those kinds of things. But I do believe that as we examine the Christmas narratives and put that in line with Acts chapter 2, what's supposed to be happening for men and women, young and old, free and slaves, as having a dynamic opportunity to hear God's voice and God's purposes. This fifth gift I want to talk about of hearing, entertaining the angels, seeing visions, and dreaming dreams. I believe it'll help us to realize that the real reason for the season is not our presence, but it's also not Jesus. The reason for the season is our neighbor. And as Pastor mentioned tonight, there's something about Christmas gives you an opportunity to invite loved ones and neighbors to the house of the Lord to see the children or to pick up cookies on a Saturday or whatever it might be. But what is your reason for the season? I hope that by the time I finish tonight, you'll understand that the reason for Christmas is for your neighbor. The reason for Christmas 2018 is for your neighbor to know Jesus Christ. Jesus is not the reason for the season. He did not come for his benefit. He did not come that he might be blessed. He came instead that all humanity could hear the gospel, could hear and be transformed by the power of his word, the power of his purposes. As we look at the shepherd narrative, we see this reason coming to pass and being exploded, and we can see some reactions to it. This story that Pastor read earlier and that I've read the first part and will continue reading throughout the message this evening, this divine encounter, I believe that this divine encounter of dreams and visions and angelic visitations, along with Joel's prophecy, we can see it all throughout the Christmas narrative. Joseph, of course, had a dream that said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your spouse." And in that dream was the name of the child, Jesus. He will save his people from their sins and call him Emmanuel, because God wants to be with us. Brothers and sisters, you can read that on a page, but until you hear some powerful unction from the Spirit, you're not going to grasp what it means that God is here. God is here. Savior is in the house tonight, and if you've not experienced him as the Redeemer, would you please hear me? Jesus is here right now, and this can be your best Christmas ever as you invite him nearer and nearer and nearer to you. We see that Joseph had a dream to protect the promise, to take the baby to Egypt land, just like The wise men had a dream to go home a different way, had a dream to take the promise back home when the king that had sought Jesus' life was dead, and then because the king's son was on the throne, to go to Galilee out of his dominion in Nazareth. And of course, the scriptures tell us in the book of Matthew that all these things were done so that scripture might be fulfilled. Mary was a lady that heard the angels speak and say, "Thou art highly favored," and the response was fear. What manner of salutation is this? And then the angels said, "Don't be afraid. If there's anybody in the house tonight that you're afraid to hear God talk, here's the first thing God's going to tell you. Don't be afraid. I didn't come to bring you death. I came to bring you life and to give you life more abundantly. But I don't only want to give you life. I want your neighbor to have life." So the reason for the season is your neighbor. It's your loved ones. It's those colleagues at work and the lady that bags your groceries at the store. Mary entertained the angel that said, "You're going to call him the Son of the Highest. He's on the throne of David, and his reign will be forever." The angel said, "It's by the Holy Spirit." The angel says in Luke 2:37, not just that the baby that's in Mary's womb, but also the baby that's in Elizabeth's womb, an old lady that hadn't had a child and a young lady that had never known a man, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. What would happen tonight if we entertained dreams and visions and a moving of the Spirit that opened our eyes to what yesterday seemed impossible, but today is a divine capacity for His will to be done in your neighborhood, where your house becomes an embassy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that your automobile becomes a place where one can sense the outflowing of the Spirit every place you drive and every place your shop. What would happen if we truly believe nothing is impossible with God? Response to the word, Mary says, "I'll accept it." And she said, "It's according to thy word." These encounters bring God's glory, as we see with the shepherds. They are the lowest of the low, as Pastor mentioned. They are not valued. Many Middle Eastern countries today, shepherds are children. When I think of this story, I'm usually thinking of, I don't know, what image do you have in your head? Somebody in their midlife watching their flocks by night? If seems like so little of that culture has changed in some ways, today most shepherds there are just children. They'd watch their parents' sheep, and they'd watch some neighbor's sheep, and they would take them out to the hillside and watch over them. And if one got lost, the city would come and help find them, like Jesus seeking after the one when the 99 were safe in the fold. Could it be that these shepherds were but just teenage boys who no one thought could learn a skill? These are the boys that are few fries short of a happy meal. These are their boys who's like the elevator that I got on today. Not only didn't reach the top, it didn't go anywhere. These are the boys whose elevator doesn't reach the top. The sheep are so easily to care for. We can trust them to the simple boys. Could it be that these were simple boys telling stories at night? Because they might have been easily confused by the lion and the bear. You remember that other shepherd in Scripture? His name was David. And which was he in the family lineage? Smallest? The weakest? The one that had little value to dad? It's that kind of shepherd that was on the hill that night. Probably was not a midlife man. Probably just a teenager who no one thought could do anything. The angels showed up. The wolves were pushed away. The beasts that would come and haunt them, hunt them down for their sheep, they were banished because a light began to shine around them. Brothers and sisters, when you open yourself to hear God speak, you're opening yourself to hear God's and see God's glory. What would happen if
sometime between now and the end of the year, the Lord would choose to come into our sleep moments with a dream or a vision. What would happen if we took attention to that and paid attention to that? We went to sleep because we were weary. But God, the Eternal One, who's got everything in His hand, says, it's on this night that I'm going to bring glory to your house. It's on this night I got an angel dispatched. We're on holy ground right now because we are saying, oh Lord, we have worshiped you. Oh Lord, we have transformed our identity and put you at the middle. Oh Lord, we've received a commission to do it, be on your laborious work, and we have walked in the Spirit. You're standing in the prime condition to entertain angels, to dream dreams, to see visions, and to receive a word of prophecy. And the reason for this is not that we are good or that we are great, but the world is in such desperate need of Jesus. The world is the reason for the season. These angels show up and begin to speak to these lads who are watching their sheep by night, huddled together against the darkness. The angel of the Lord comes and the glory of the Lord shines round about them. When I think of the glory of the Lord shining, who do you think of in the Old Testament? Perhaps the same person that I do. Maybe Moses. Moses saying, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see you in this time of crisis when Israel has worshiped the golden calf. And the Lord says, well, if you really want it, Moses, come and stand in that cleft in the rock, and I'll put my hand over you, and you'll see a piece of my mercy, my love, my glory. I'm going to reveal something to you, Moses, because you've asked for it. These boys were caught unaware. The angels show up, and God's glory fill the whole countryside. I pray to God right now that before the end of the year, those of you in the house tonight that are thirsty after God, that there come a dream into your bedroom, there come a vision into the season, or that you entertain an angel, because God has you in a place where your neighbor can be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has you in a workplace where your light can shine so bright. And we are prepared to receive those dreams and those visions, entertain those words of prophecy. The angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I mean, if Gabriel were to show up at your breakfast table in the morning, you know, this is the dude that spoke to Mary, and maybe one of those angels that had warred on Daniel's behalf shows up at your table. I think shaking might be in order. I think wondering why has this being that comes from a kingdom where his will is already accomplished, why has that being come into my sphere where his kingdom is not yet accomplished? Fear's going to be there. And it's at that moment the angels begin to declare, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, because I bring you good news. Amen. This Christmas season is about good news. There's not much of that on the news. Not much of that in the radio. Not much of that on the internet. I don't know what your news feed is, if it's MSN or it's CNN. I don't know what your news feed is, but they don't have much good news. But tonight, this Christmas, God wants to bring you some good news, some tidings of great joy that he wants to bring. And the reason for the season is your neighbor needs to see that light shine through you. Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to just a few people. It's only available to those who pray hard enough, fast long enough. It's only of those to whose family has the right pedigree and who've been around long enough. Only for those that have paid tithes 15 years or more with only 3 missed weeks in there. It's for those who even paid tithes when they were kids and mowed the lawn and got a dollar. They put that dime in the little yellow envelope, put their name, and checked the tithe box, that dime of tithe. It's only for those people that can hear the joy. No, brothers and sisters, the angels are around us right now, and they're trying to get our attention and say this Christmas season is filled with joy for all people. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this news that went to these shepherd boys, there were no Christians to hear the news. There were no disciples of Jesus to hear the news. But the word was still, this good news of great joy is for all people. When I think of wars in the land, when I think of soldiers, men and women, fighting in the Middle East and have now been in Afghanistan and Iraq, the longest war in American history, when I think of Twin Towers that are brought down, when I think of lots of things that have happened, it's awful easy for me to think that this good news is only for some people. But brothers and sisters, this Christmas season, we got to hear the angels say, there's great joy available to all people. And who are you and I, mere shepherd people by the hillside, to restrict the flow of the good news? It's for those in prison. It's for those in universities. It's for those in the state house. It's for those in the governor's mansion and the president's house. I don't know that big house. Sometimes when I hear our president speak, I'm a little bit ashamed of the language that he uses and the way that he speaks. I'm not talking politically now. I'm just talking as a person. I don't understand some of his lifestyle and his behaviors. I don't understand some of his history and some of the things that I've done. But even President Trump needs to hear the great joy that's available. If all he'd have to do is call on the name of Jesus, and every sin can get washed away in a moment in a watery grave of baptism. This is a season of great joy for all people. I don't understand child molesters. I don't understand people who hurt elders. I don't get it. And I'm a nonviolent person, but when I hear of somebody that's hurt a kid, it just gets me, kind of gets me mad. I want to rip off their head and spit down their throat. He says with a smile on his face. Because I don't understand someone holding a child, smashing their head against the wall. I don't understand someone depriving a child of nutrition so that they can have it for themselves. I don't get it. I don't understand someone who can't handle their own wrath, their own frustration, so they take it out on a child. I don't understand that, someone using a child for their own sexual pleasure. I don't get that at all. But brothers and sisters, for every pedophile and every child abuser, there's great joy available here in the house tonight. His name is Jesus. He is seeking and saving everybody that is lost. And he's now on this Christmas season and is asking us to know the reason for this season. And brothers and sisters, it's for our neighbor, that all people can hear that news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David that other shepherd that daddy didn't even bring to the selection committee. That other shepherd that wouldn't amount to anything. That other shepherd that spent so much time singing he lost too many sheep along the way. That other shepherd that couldn't even be trusted to keep his yap shut when he was up next to the soldier's booth. Instead of just delivering the cheese and the bread, he had to open his mouth. Do you remember that shepherd in the city of David? There's a Savior which is born, and he is Christ the Lord. And the King of kings and the Lord of glory, the one who lit the sun on fire and spins the orbit of all the planets, that God has sent us, the angels, to talk to you lowly shepherds tonight to let you know there's a Savior that's born for you. Brothers and sisters, what would happen if we would entertain angels? What would happen if we would dream dreams? What happened if we could hear his voice and hear the words of the Savior? I brought my journal tonight because I had to find exactly what day it was. It was on September the 25th. During the night, I had a dream that I need to see what God wants to do through Sherry in my life right now. This dream included tongues and interpretation of tongues like I have never done before. My work now is greater kingdom potential than my years, personal stuff. I need to quit feeling ashamed of my life and my work and quit hiding from people that makes me feel bad about what I'm not doing anymore. The Lord began to reveal in that dream, in my contemplation of that dream over the next week, that there was pride in my life that he wanted to get rid of. You see, when I wallow in self-pity, that's evidence of pride that I didn't know was there. You think self-pity means that pride's been beat out of you like the snot. Self-pity means there's something inside of you that's angry because it's not respected. So the Lord loved me so much that he gave me a dream that night where I could feel the presence of an almighty God even though I was asleep. And he let me interpret the tongues in the service that night in a dimension I'd never done before. And when I woke up, I realized that he had called me to a new walk of humility in him. The Lord loved me and loved my neighbors and loved those that I care for so much that he came to me in a dream in the middle of the night. Brothers and sisters, that's his good pleasure for every single one of you. He wants to come to you in the night hour. He wants to come to you in the early hour. He wants Acts 2 to be alive and real in us, not just in baptism in his name, and not just in receiving of the Spirit, but one more time, he wants to on his children, on his handmaidens, and on his servants, on his young men, and on his old men. He wants to give visions and dreams in this last hour because our neighbors are the reason for the season. Recently, on one of my trips, I had, out of 4 nights that I was in a certain city, I had nightmares those 4 nights. The first night, I just shook it off, you know, anxiety, whatever. Second night, The third night, started thinking, there's something spiritual going on here. Maybe it's because I'm a little older. Maybe because I walk a little slower. In this season of my life, I'm hungry for a move of the Spirit like I've never experienced before. But I want some young person in the house to know right now, you don't have to wait till you're 50 or 57 or 65 or 80 to slow down enough to hear the working of the Spirit. These were young boys on a mountainside, on a camp out, watching the sheep. Mary was a teenage, unwed, pregnant lady who entertained angels that day. Young people, if you just say, oh Lord, here am I. Speak to me when you want to. It can be like the boy Samuel who was woken up in the middle of the night. He had never heard God's voice before. Samuel, Samuel. He went running to the priest. Yes, Eli, what do you need? I didn't call you, son. Go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel, hear my master. What do you need? Oh, I didn't do it. But the next time you hear, just say, I'm listening, Lord. Speak. Brothers and sisters, I believe in this hour our world needs Jesus so much that he's going to talk to a church that's willing to say, oh Lord, speak to me and I will hear. Talk to me, I'm ready for your voice in this hour. I don't need to hear it from me. I need to be made a humble servant so I can spread light to a world that's in need. Great joy needs to go to a world of all people that they can hear that there's a Savior born. It's Christ the Lord. Here's the beautiful thing. These little boys, these young men were given a sign. Now, God doesn't have to do this, but he does this frequently, giving people a sign, giving them a symbol, of a reminder. I've had times when there were seasons where I'd look out the window and I'd see a rainbow. A friend of mine, as we were doing a wedding together in Maine, at Bah Harbor, I think is the way they pronounce it. The wedding was over. The work was done. We were sitting there eating a little seafood, what else, there by Bar Harbor. And we looked out the window, and it was not one rainbow, but two of them interlocking. We looked at each other and said, isn't God merciful and good? I wonder if this Christmas season we can be tuned in to the Lord's work and experience his lavish love like we have never done before. Sister, brother, do you understand how much God loves you tonight? Whatever you feel about his love, double it. Whatever you feel about his love, quadruple it. Whatever you think God's done good for you, raise it by a factor of 10, 50, or 100. Because God loves you beyond your capacity to grasp and understand. And in this Christmas season, he wants us to see the glory of the Lord in such a dimension that not only we rejoice, but our life starts splashing out on others so that they can too know that the glory of the Lord is in the house. And he wants to bless all people today. There's a sign, he said to these boys. There's a baby in town, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What's interesting to me is the angel doesn't say, go check it out. The angel doesn't say, wait till morning when your sheep are all back in the fold. Go check it out. The angel just says, here's the sign. There's a baby. It was up to these boys to decide if they were going to go check it out or not. The Lord is giving a sign to you tonight in some dimension of his good pleasure in your life. His love and mercy wants to fill all of your days in a brand new dimension. But it's up to you and to me, and it's up to Racine Church collectively to say, oh Lord, we will not wait. We're going to go check it out. We're going to put you to the test, or we're going to try that which you have placed before us. You're telling me that you want us to love the neighbor. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to find a way to speak to a neighbor, to speak to a loved one, to hear your voice in places where your light can so shine. You see, the first person that the sign of the virgin having a baby, that was in Isaiah chapter number 7. It was to King Ahaz. He was outside Jerusalem fixing the aqueduct and fixing the defenses. The prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, you're working too hard. The Lord's going to protect you. You're working too hard. Let God protect you. Matter of fact, you ought to ask for a sign. And Ahaz says, I'm too busy. I don't have time to monkey with God. I got a job to do protecting God's people. I don't have time for God. Is that a little strange? He's the one on David's throne protecting Jerusalem where the temple is, protecting God's temple, but he doesn't have time for the God of the temple. So Isaiah says, well, whether you want it or not, God's going to give you a sign anyway. There's going to be one young lady. So this is the first fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7. The young lady right now, she's not even married. But within 2 years, the things, by the time that child, she's got married, she's had a child, by the time that child is born, the threats that are against you, they're going to be completely destroyed. You ask for the sign or not, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Now, the ultimate fulfillment, of course, was in Christ, and Mary had the child while still a virgin, so it's the second fulfillment that we think about, but there was the first fulfillment in Isaiah chapter 7. We need to realize the Lord is giving us a powerful sign of the Spirit. What you felt here this morning of a loving God lavishly drawing you and washing over you was a sign. I want to do something in Racine that hasn't been done before. He loves you for your commitment to Him and your service to Him, but He wants to take it to a whole new place, a whole new dimension. He wants your witnessing to go to a new dimension, your care for the sick and to care for the child and to care for the weak and the beggarly and the broken. He wants your knowledge of the Word to increase and your life and prayer to go deeper than ever before. That's His good pleasure, and that was the sign that He gave us this morning. Brothers and sisters, let's go and see. If I pray, is He going to answer my prayer like never before? If I study the Word, is it going to be alive more than ever before? If I give water to the thirsty, is Jesus going to be there like never before? If I visit the sick in the hospital and the prisoner in the jail, is He going to show up more than ever before? Brothers and sisters, if you'll do that, if you'll just go and see, you'll find out. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. When angel number one talks about the sign, verse 13, suddenly there was an angel multitude with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, toward humanity. When I look at the message, the Christmas message, the glorious message, that the glory of God in the highest is there. He wants to bring peace on earth. If you flip to the back of the book of Luke and see the triumphal entry when they're breaking the palm branches, remember? Taking off their coats and put it before His mule as He's walking down that street. The crowd cries out, peace in heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but peace in heaven. You see, they never got the angel word to the shepherd boys that night that Jesus brings peace right here, right now. They'd given up on peace now. They were saying, someday we're going to have peace in heaven. But it's God's will for all of your anxiety to be put away right here, right now. It's God's will for all violence to be put down right here and right now. That's God's good plan. Pleasure, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. As I was reading that passage and contemplating, is this goodwill between humanity? Is this us loving one another? Is this us validating one another, respecting one another? I don't believe so. This is goodwill not between humanity, but towards humanity. This is God's goodwill settling on humanity. We don't deserve it. Our neighbors don't deserve it. We don't earn Christmas. The naughty list and the nice list, I'll tell you which list y'all belong on. Even if you've been really dandy good for the last month to get on the nice list. Scripture says we've all sinned and fall short of His glory. Our wages are death. We are on the naughty list. The naughty list. But the Master says, goodwill to all on earth. Take the naughtiest list in town. My Jesus is not a Santa Claus. He doesn't jump down chimneys and up chimneys in one night. Instead, He came to dwell among us, Emmanuel. He came to dwell among us as a sign, goodwill towards humanity, towards shepherds by night, and toward those in the inn, and even in the end of His life when they're abusing Him, He prays, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, He's saying goodwill even towards those who
murder, assassinate me. Glory to God, peace on earth, God's goodwill toward humanity. That's the reason for the season, God's goodwill toward humanity. Next time you hear of horrible news, here's how you can tell if you got Christmas or not. Next time you hear of one horror the one human being has done to another human being, if you get mad, if you say, I wish the government would do something about that, if I was king for a day, I would stop all this nonsense, you didn't get Christmas. But if the next time you hear of violence toward another person, you say, Lord, have mercy on the perpetrator and on the victim. Let your goodwill fall on both of them. Let both of them feel your love and mercy while there's still time. Brothers and sisters, that's when we got Christmas. I don't think I've gotten Christmas just yet. I still classify people, and I still see some as more likely to be candidates for to be the voice of God. I'm still more likely to hear from some people and not listen to other people. But I need Christmas to come to my home this year. Sherry and I need Christmas in our house this year where we can hear that God says goodwill toward all people and he will not be a respecter of persons. I need Christmas in the house tonight to know that everyone that's here, if you just say, Lord, here am I, he will use you for his divine purposes to be a witness to the world. Will you receive the reason for the season this year? That is, your neighbor needs you to entertain angels, to see dreams, and to have visions. The response of these boys, verse 15, came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven. The shepherds, probably these young men, said one to another, let's now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They have taken the risk of leaving the sheep out in the woods, taken the risk to run into Bethlehem because the news was too good to put on hold. Too good to say, someday when I got more time, I'll see a vision. Someday when my life is evened out a little bit, I'll dedicate my days to the Lord. Someday when I've climbed the next rung on the ladder, or I've retired, or I've finished university, someday I'll be available to do God's work. Brothers and sisters, could we hear from these lads today and say, this is the day to leave all of our things behind and say, Lord, what is going on here? Where are you at work here? Now, these boys will eventually go back and take care of their sheep, but they go home a different group of young men than went into Bethlehem because they've beheld Jesus and they have worshiped him. This Christmas season, open the fifth gift of visions and dreams and hearing the Spirit speak through angels, and then go and check it out, see if God is doing it or not. I'm encouraging you, I'm imploring you with you, I'm even, yes, begging with you. When you hear God speak, would you write it down? Aren't you glad Luke did? Aren't you glad James did? Aren't you glad Paul did? Aren't you glad Mark had time? Next time the Lord speaks to you, find a piece of paper, find your phone, find your iPad, find something and write it down. Lord, you're dealing with me right now. I'm going to try this by the spirits to see whether it's right or not. But you are working in a dimension that I need to write it down. I take notes on the preaching, but I've started in my home church. When I hear tongue interpretation of tongue or a word of prophecy, I take notes on that too. Because if the Spirit felt like it was important enough to interrupt us, it's important enough for me to pay attention. Too often what I do is say, whoa, we had two tongues and interpretations tonight, and by Tuesday I have no clue of what was said. The dream that I wrote down from
September the 25th, as powerful as that was, I had to look it up this afternoon to make sure I had some of those details there. The power of that dream is not over. God is still speaking into my life. Now, several months later, from that one divine occurrence in a hotel room when I was at General Conference, God loved me so much to speak to me that night, and he still wants me to hear the power of that dream. Is there anybody in the house? The Lord has already spoken to you before, but it's been a little while since you've reflected back on that dream, reflected back on that word from the Lord. He's given you some divine promises. Brother Monday, you shared with me a dream this morning. God gave you a promise. Hold on to that dream tonight. God is faithful and sure concerning his promises. He is not slack. They went back into the city and they checked it out to see what was going on. Verse 16, they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Since they were shepherds, they felt comfortable at the manger scene. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. The stuff that they heard from the angel, they turned around and repeated it. It's interesting to me when Hollywood puts out a picture of a new mama. She's smiling. Hair's all in place. Stomach has gone back to 10 months before size. Like that. I walked with a lady 4 times through that process. She wasn't wanting a whole lot of pictures. The night had been too long. The pain had been too severe. The struggle of life and death and bringing those children to pass was a little bit too much to have a picture taken. These angels are there. Mary's hair is matted with sweat from that first child, which usually takes longer than all subsequent children. Our first baby, Sherry, was in labor for like 23 hours. Pain and the sorrow that was there, the difficulty of finally it's here, yes, but will this pain ever go away? Mary's there and her face is still glistening with the sweat and her hair is matted from writhing in pain during the night hour. It's at that moment that these boys break in to this little private scene and they say, you got to understand, we saw some angels here. Mary and Joseph, this child's parents, they knew what it was because several months before they had entertained angels. So they were listening. What did the angel tell you? The angel told us that there's great joy in the house. The angel told us it's to all people. The angel told us a Savior is born. It's Christ the Lord. The angel told us there's peace on earth and God's goodwill towards humanity. And Mary, trying to focus a little bit, said, well, that's even more than what the angel told me. Scripture tells us that she kept these things, verse 19, Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, Mary became a collector. Mary became a collector of words in the Spirit. What do you harbor in your heart? What do you place in the vault of your heart? Do we harbor things that folks have done wrong? Do we harbor lost opportunities? I heard on the radio the other day that Mr. Armstrong, the cyclist dude, got all his ribbons taken away because he was doping, that one. 10 years ago, he put $100,000 in his little company, $100,000 in his little company called Uber. 10 years ago. It's about ready to go public. They're estimating his $100,000 went to $3 billion. 10 years. For a day or two, I harbored in my heart. I don't need $100,000, but couldn't I have put $1,000 in there? $300 million would tide me over a little bit. $30 million would tide me over. $3 million would tide me over. $300,000 would help. So you know what my heart was harboring? was harboring valuing things over people. My heart is harboring a distrust for God taking care of my future. Mary became a protector of words in the Spirit. I'm wondering if there's anyone this Christmas season who wouldn't become a protector of the words that you hear in the Spirit. If you don't understand it today, if there's something I'm telling you tonight and you're not getting it, would you just hide it in your heart? Let him understand. He kept saying I was to be a missionary on my street and an ambassador at the grocery store and where I work. I don't get it. I don't see how I can have an influence. If there's anybody in the house that's that like that right now, would you just take that and hide it in your heart a little bit? Because there's going to come a day very soon where it's going to take root in your spirit. There's not going to be any room for bitterness because you got the words of the Spirit tucked away there. There's not going to be any root of a place for anger to hide out or desire for material things to hide out because you got things in the Spirit hidden there. Mary tucked this thing away in her heart. All the rest heard it and they wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It's too fantastic. No one would trust little boys, shepherd boys, with this good news. Mary hid it in her heart. Some people will wonder. Mary kept it and pondered it in her heart. The shepherds, what did they do after they told the news? The shepherds returned to the field, but they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Isn't it amazing to you as it is to me that uneducated shepherds' boys worship the most on that first Christmas? They had to get back to work. They were there to keep the village's sheep safe. They had to go back to work. They had just taken a little. They had dared to run into town to see if God did what the angels proclaimed. They had dared to take the risk. They had to run back to work, but they ran back to worshiping. Ran back to work glorifying God. Ran back and collected the sheep and counted them out and gave their little call as shepherd boys do. And only their own sheep would know their voice when come running to them. And they would give their own little whistle and their own little call. And their 5 or 10 little sheep would come. They're all here, praise God. They're all here. Isn't God good? Oh, they're all here. Isn't he wonderful? The Savior has been born this night. And he's born in our town. And I got to see it. Some people wondered, Mary kept it in her heart and pondered, but the shepherd boys went back to the fields, glorifying God for the things that they had seen and heard. What's your reason for the season? I like Christmas. I told you earlier, there's got to be a little 4-year-old boy left inside of me someplace. I like gifts. I like giving gifts. I just don't like waiting for my grandkids to open them. I'm one of those that wants them to open them early, which means I got to go shopping again. Probably a good thing that my wife does the shopping because I just keep dumping things in that digital cart and just hit deliver, 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 deliver. So much fun. But I'm wondering this Christmas, can I hear the angels? I want right now, I'm praying in the Spirit right now. You're welcome to join with me, but Lord, tonight if you see fit, I want to hear your voice. Tonight if you see fit, oh Lord, I got to go to sleep. I'm not like you. I have to sleep. But Lord, I'll put my head down on the pillow tonight, and if you see fit, would you visit me in the evening hour? I'm going to do my best to remember to worship you in the morning. Going to do my best to reorder my identity around you and recognize my calling to labor with you and to walk in the Spirit. I'll do my best, but Lord, if you see fit, I want that fifth gift to happen to me before now in the end of the year. I want the promise of Acts chapter number 2. I don't know if an old man or a young man, but I'm going to see vision or see a dream. That's what I want, oh Lord. I don't know if I'm a bond or a slave, but I want to have a spirit of prophecy come over me before the end of the year. Is anyone with me willing to pray that prayer right now? If so, would you stand as the musicians are coming? Most of you know I enjoy fountain pens, and I have a few. Well, I have a few more than a few. I like fountain pen ink, and yes, a new color was on my list for Christmas. My bookcase at work, 3 bookcases there, fountain pen ink bottles across the whole thing, and people dare to ask if I'm an ink collector. No, I'm a user. All those inks up there, I use them. But this Christmas, Jesus, can I open the gift of knowing that I have heard from you in a personal way? Lord Jesus, you were so kind to me back in September. You were more merciful than I deserved. You revealed some pride in my spirit. I can't even confess it right now, all the dimensions of that pride. It's not appropriate, Lord, but you know what those things are, and you loved me so much that you gave me that dream that night. A dream where I saw me doing spiritual things, and you were pulling pride out of me so I could walk in that dimension. Lord, I even thank you for those 3 nightmares recently, because they reminded me that I got to stay dependent on you and leaning not on my own understanding. Lord, I'm sorry. I've been a bit suspicious for people that preach like this in the past, talking about angels and dreams and visions. Forgive me, oh Lord. Have mercy on me for doubting. But you've proven it to me these last 3 months. That you still speak that way. Lord, I stand in front of a hungry people. Oh, they so covet seeing a dimension of your spirit that you have placed in them a longing to see in their city. We need Christmas this year like never before. Would you send us angels? Would you send us dreams? Would you send us visions? A few sermons that Pastor has left before the end of the year. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Powerful insight and dimension of the Spirit. In a way, oh Lord, which we've never seen before. Powerful preacher, powerful lover of the word, powerful witness. But Lord, would you anoint pastors preaching between now and the end of the year in a new dimension? Oh Lord, we really believe in tongues and interpretation of tongues around here. We believe in words of prophecy. Lord, this Christmas, could we just be shepherds this Christmas? Could we just be little boys that no one sees much value in us, but heaven does? Would you make us daring witnesses? Would you make us inquisitive seekers to see that if you speak it, you really mean it? And oh Lord, would you enable us to go back to work rejoicing at all the good things that you have shown us in our lives and that these things are true? Oh Lord, that's what Christmas was that year. And that's what you want Christmas to be right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Those of you who will release your night visions and dreams to the Master. I'm not saying it's going to happen every night. I'm not saying it's going to happen tonight. But if you'll come forward in faith believing, saying, I really believe God still wants to speak to his people in a spiritual dimension, would you just come and stand? We're not begging him. We're just offering ourselves. You see the difference? We're not begging. We're just saying, oh Lord. We're just saying, oh Lord, my neighbor's the reason for the season. My unsaved loved one's the reason for the season. The backslider is the reason for the season. Children that have walked away is the reason for the season. So Lord, I offer myself to you right now. Speak, Lord. I will do my best to listen. Speak, Lord. I will do my best to investigate. Speak, Lord. I will do my best to dance and shout when I see it's come to pass. Speak, Lord. I will do my best to share your good word with everyone I see. Speak, Lord, because I'm going to take your glory back to my workplace. Take your glory to my street. I'm going to take your glory.